This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Good morning, Miss Peterson. I'm sorry to disturb you so early. The court has ruled that you require assistance in taking care of yourself.
I'm fine.
I'm afraid it's not up to you to decide. The court has appointed me to be your legal guardian.
What?
You have to come with me. And remember, I'm here to help.
My name is Marla Grayson.
I'm just someone who cares.
She forces them into the home, auctions off their house,
and uses the proceeds to pay herself.
Because caring is my job.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, joined as always by Shamila Ganesan, Arvin Yuvaraj. Today, we are reviewing Rosamund Pike, Living Once More in Our Nightmares, working harder and harder to burrow deeper into our brains in her latest film, or in the latest film that stars her, which is I Care A Lot. It was released fairly recently on Netflix. It is written and directed by Jay Blakeson.
This was such an interesting one, right? Because I don't think I've seen marketing for something used words like nasty, deliciously awful, toxic so many times in its marketing as a plus point. And I think that has to do with Rosamund Pike. It does live up to most of those things, I have to say. That's a story about really a pretty nasty person who takes advantage of the elderly and makes money off of them.
Takes advantage is like an understatement. But also, yesterday we spoke about Gone Girl, and we spoke about how Rosamund Pike sort of found her calling in that movie. Like, you know, who she got typecast in a way. This is one of the reasons why I don't mind that she got typecast, because she plays the role here somewhat of that sort of role in I Care A Lot, and it's really, really good. So it just goes to prove that she can do this again and again, but without recycling old tropes, she's able to pull from different levels of complete craziness and complete psychosis in ways that I don't think we've seen many other actors do.
Marla is a very different character to Amy.
And she is.
The characteristics of how she's presented, also very different, which I love. So yes, Rosamund Pike plays Marla Grayson, who is somebody who's basically running a scam on conservatorships. She puts, or rather she gets the court to deem elderly people as unable to take care of themselves, therefore putting them under her guardianship, at which point she dumps them in an old folks home and bleeds them dry for all that they're worth, while claiming that their various family members did not care about them and are also unfit to care for them. And that's the premise of the movie. That's how it starts. However, she and her partner, Francis, basically run this scam on the wrong person, incurring the wrath of Peter Dinklage's character. And then from there, it kind of spirals out into a essentially gangster flick, I think is fair to call it.
Yes. So basically, she tries to con the wrong older woman, who's played by Diane Weiss, who I actually love. I wish there was more of her in this film, because whatever we did see of her, it was great. I can't decide how much I like this movie, mostly because I think there's a difference between how much I enjoyed the movie, which is to say a lot. I enjoyed thoroughly the experience of watching it. But did I like it is tough, I think, because even by the end, there's no payoff. There's no payoff for a really nasty character that I kind of wanted to see something either so bad that I'm like, yes, you asked for this all along, or nothing happens to the point where you're like, yeah, this is life. I give up. Bad people always win. In a weird way, it felt like this film didn't go all the way in either of those directions. And perhaps that's why by the end I was like, I was mostly depressed by what the film was trying to say, which wasn't the emotion I wanted to come away with.
So I think I can honestly say that this is not a good film, but it's a film that I really enjoyed. Like you said, I was never bored. I was completely fixed on it. I was willing to go along for the ride and stuff. But as a movie, I don't know what it is, because It's two films in one, or it's three films in one. It's trying to be one too many things. And then by the end of it, it has no reason why it's called what it's called. Like, I care a lot has no meaning. It's just loosely tied to something. But it's one of those movies that I'm going to forget in a couple of months completely. But while it lasted, I was completely okay with it, 100%. And I guess that just comes with the streaming package. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to rate a movie like that.
I agree with both of you in that I knew as I was watching it that the movie had a lot of flaws, some of them fatal, in fact, where there are just gaps in logic and you're like, I don't know.
Like, how does a normal person suddenly know how to do high-level criminal stuff and no one's questioning it?
Actually, my problem was more on the other side. Why are the criminals so bad at their jobs?
They
make several decisions and I'm like, you know, I am not one who condones any of these actions, but if I did, I'd do them better. You know, you could plan this maybe a bit more finesse. But also, I knew that it wasn't making sense. I think the entire middle part really had me wondering if the movie had lost its nerve entirely, because it was kind of refusing to commit to the story going in any which direction. But did I enjoy the overall experience? I did. This, I think, actually goes back a lot to the performances, primarily Rosamund Pike. But it also goes back to the fact that the movie is shot with a real eye, I think, for color, for movement, for editing. I was comparing it actually to White Tiger, and the reason why White Tiger was so much better is because it was a better movie. But in the same way, they were both well shot. And I think on a streaming service where we are missing the feeling of watching a movie that was meant for cinema and not for TV, both movies did that. Whether you like it or not, this is a movie, not a TV movie. And I think that was nice.
It's such a stylish film. It looks... So one of the things that's really compelling when you watch Nasty People on screen is that they let you live out your base impulses, right? Like you watch someone be just awful and you're like, I would never do that. But if I did, that's how I want to do it. So this film achieves that, right? Like, she makes being this awful person feel and look almost aspirational. And you know, her outfits and the way she walks into a room, the music and how she's shot and how she speaks, everything is just really cool. So that part of it really works. And I think that's part of why it's enjoyable. I think the flaw comes in not knowing where to strike that balance, right? It's been marketed as a dark comedy. Mm-hmm. I didn't find much that was very funny about it. A lot of the film to me was fairly nasty. I loved Peter Dinklage. I think it's telling that you end up rooting for the awful gangster who himself isn't like a heart of gold or anything over Rosamund Pike's character, Marla, who is supposed to be the one you almost identify with.
Yeah, so even that's like a confusing thing. Like, you don't know who they're trying to pin as the good guy, bad guy, or even if there is a good guy or bad guy, or what the movie's trying to do. But I think the TV movie thing is the reason why I enjoyed it so much. Because, yes, it is built like a cinematic release, like it should be on the big screen. But also, I think because there's no investment on my part that I don't care if the movie's good or not. And this is like a trend that's happening with more and more Netflix releases or stuff that comes out on HBO. I'm not buying a ticket. I'm not driving anywhere. I'm not stuck in traffic.
This is watching something on RTM2 just because it's on, right? Like, it doesn't have to be amazing.
Exactly.
You just watch it.
I'm going nowhere. Like, I don't have anything to do for a couple of hours. I'm sitting on my sofa and watching this film, and I have the option of switching it off at any time, and I don't have to drive home. So I don't know if I give films like that leeway, but I think I do. If I had gone to the cinema to see this, I wouldn't have liked it. I would have been like, you need to write better stuff. Like, you can't just throw things on a paper and make a film and make it stylish. It is very stylish, but I think it also really depends on where and how you watch this. If you're setting time aside, then you might end up not enjoying it as much.
So I didn't like Peter Dinklage, and I love Peter Dinklage as a whole. In general, as an actor, I enjoy him tremendously, and I enjoyed him very much in pockets of this movie. And it's not that I don't think he can be threatening, because I believe that. Did I find him frightening? I did. But I think I struggled with how his character was written and the stereotypes that he was trying to kind of embody throughout. And because I did not, again, I go back to this, right? movies do lose me when characters behave stupidly, meaning when they behave in a way that doesn't make sense, that doesn't match the story. And I felt his character, more so than the others, just made decisions that I'm like, this doesn't make sense, guy. Like, if you really want to help the woman that you're trying to help, this is not the way to go about it. But I guess I'm supposed to buy it. So that was my struggle. And that actually took me out of the film for the bits that he's in, which is mostly the middle bit.
Yes, I agree. And this sort of lack of development of things carries through to a lot of things, right? There's her relationship with Francis, as you mentioned. You're kind of hard-pressed. Sometimes it seems like she doesn't care, because there were a couple of times where, you know, surely you knew that you were at mortal threat, but no, you do nothing. But then when she finally is in danger, suddenly it becomes this like, oh my God, I can't believe. It swings from not quite knowing what it wants to do. Is it painting her as cold and just like, I will do whatever I want for my money? Is she being painted to be human? Similarly with Peter Dinklage, is he someone you want to kind of root for? Is he just stupid and therefore doesn't deserve to win this battle? Yeah, it seems like a big picture film that never quite hones in on the details.
I think a fun experiment would be to watch the first half hour of this movie and then watch the last half hour of this movie, the last 15 minutes, and see if it works. And I'm willing to bet that it'll work the exact same way. So as a short film, it works perfectly. With all the fluff and the mumbo-jumbo in between, it becomes slightly bloated and convoluted. But again, I go back to saying that it doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it, because I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, so we are talking today about I Care A Lot, which was just released pretty recently on Netflix. And it was directed by Jay Blakeson, also written by the same, starring Rosamund Pike. Let us know if you've seen it and what you think. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
Jennifer Peterson, she's off limits.
She has very powerful friends who can make life uncomfortable for you.
How uncomfortable are we talking? I don't lose. I won't lose. I'm never letting you go.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
I am a f***ing lioness.
Hi, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvind. Today, we are reviewing I Care A Lot, which was released, I think, towards the end of 2020, but it just made its way here now. You can watch it on Netflix. And it stars Rosamund Pike, essentially, which is why we're talking about it. And I think that she's actually the main thing that makes this movie so watchable. I'm not sure exactly how she does it, but Rosamund Pike manages to make the most inhumane characters feel very human. Not humane, but feel very human, feel very lived in. I feel like I know this woman and I would avoid her at all costs.
And I think there is something to be said for daring to go there with a character like this, with a movie like this. Because in a world where films about women, starring women, are still not on an equal level with those starring men, to tell a story of a woman, but to make her unapologetically not redeemable at all, I actually think is quite bold, because that could have gone wrong. It could have turned out to be a, you know, especially since the film is directed by a man, it could have turned into one of those punching bag situations. But Rosamund Pike totally takes control of this character and keeps it at that level where you're like, wow, I can't believe you went there. And I think that's something that's worth pointing out.
So I was listening to this this interview with the filmmakers, the writers and stuff, and how they got to her character, right? And somebody pointed out that she's always vaping. Like, she always has like a vape pen in her hand. And they were like, why? Like, what's the quirk? And they're like, it's because of that, because they had to make her look human and accessible. So she's constantly doing something that people can look at as either just like a tick or flaw or something in this character, because she's so stone cold and she's like a statue, right? And she's so flawless in everything that she does, even her confidence, that she needed to have something in her hand or some sort of habit that people could latch onto and go like, this is an actual person and this is a human being instead of a robot or some sort of Terminator-like character that doesn't have any flaws, you know, which I thought was pretty interesting.
I want to watch her do Terminator now. You've just put that idea in my head.
Yeah, she would do it well.
She would do it well. She would be the person who is the big boss of Skynet, who's cloned herself to become the Terminator.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so she's ordering herself around. I'd watch that.
Like, I would, yes, yeah. 100% watch that.
Like Arnold who?
I hope someone's listening to this.
So I did want to say that while the movie is inherently bold in that it allows this person to be truly just really irredeemable. We keep saying irredeemable, but she really, really is irredeemable. Like, she does not care. I think the flip side of that is I did not like, or I don't know whether things got lost in editing or somewhere along the way, the attempts to make the movie overtly feminist. That I really did not enjoy. It felt very much as if I'm here making a movie, I've got a lead actress, I'm going to try and push this narrative. Because she goes into a monologue very early on about how, is it because I'm a woman? Is that why you're talking to me this way? And I'm like, no, you know, by any measure,
no, you're
people
just an
are
awful
talking
person.
To you this. Correct. You're terrible. I don't know why we're trying to sugarcoat this, you know, especially for you. So those sorts of things within the film I didn't like so much, and I thought were a bit disingenuous. And the movie actually didn't need it.
And that's what I meant by when I said it feels like a film that's focused on a message or a big picture, because obviously the larger context for all of this is a critique of the system, right? The system that allows people to exploit the elderly this way, to take advantage of the system this way. But even till the end, it doesn't actually do anything with it. The payoff at the end is also not really a systemic change or critique. It ends up just being we need to finish this somehow, and we can't just be like terrible people are fine. So something is going to happen and that's it. But it's sort of a cop out. A lot of the big ideas that the film wants to deal with are essentially then taken to no end and just peter out.
So I don't know if that's a result of this film being marketed as like a social media friendly film. And I read this somewhere that the aesthetics, the colors, the posters, the marketing, it's all built for Instagram. Like even the fashion, even her choice of haircut is built for Instagram. And even the way Netflix sort of did their Instagram posts were very social media friendly. So I don't know if all the themes, all the things she said, all the jokes, if they were sort of designed and written to be quotable, memeable, and sort of, you know, reproduced on social media in some form. I don't know if because it looks like it was designed for a certain audience and a certain audience who would do those kinds of things, and I don't know if it actually went there or not.
I think that what's interesting about the film is that aside, you know, building on that idea of it being a social media film, it's a social media film for this specific moment, right? Not just the aesthetics, but also, I think the reason why it's interesting is partly because it is not really a movie that could have been made with this exact message in another period of time. Meaning it is quite specific to late stage capitalism. The critique of it is about this moment. It's not because in the past we might have, her character would have been different or the story arc would have been different. But in this moment, the way that they've chosen to do it is very much this is who she is. This is what she looks like. She does look very Instagrammable, no? And, you know, and we just kind of roll with that. And it's, I like that about it. I like that in some ways it's a very modern movie.
It is. And even that question of it being of this moment, right? I think a lot of things have to happen even now for you to be okay with watching men hit women on screen and not feel it in a way that is not just this is two people who are at odds with each other. This film somehow achieves it. You don't feel like, oh my God, I can't believe he hit a woman. It's just like, yeah, these are two people who are both like, you know, at it. And so that also makes it feel very modern and contemporary in a very particular way. And all of these are why I actually enjoyed it. I would actually tell people to watch it just because there's a lot of pleasure to be had in the journey of the film. I think the way it ended particularly and the way it almost non-ended left me feeling it's like there's nastiness at the heart of this and that's all. And that's what I don't like.
So I think we're going to see a lot of other movies like this. And I blame Joker particularly for this trend.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like Joker. Like, I love that movie. But I feel like a lot of people are going to try to replicate Joker's success and Joker's sort of bleakness by building characters who are, like you said, like ugly through and through. Like, there's no redeeming quality. The movie ends with the birth of a monster kind of thing. And we can see trailers come out for movies like that. Cruella looks like that. This movie looks like that. Modern's like the perfect word, because maybe for the next 5 years there are going to be films that center around villains or people that they think we love to hate, but at the end of the day we just hate to hate because there's no fine balance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just coming back to this film alone, I don't know if I love to hate Rosamund Pike's character or not. I think at the end of the day it was just a hate to hate. Like, I couldn't care less about what happened to her.
I just really wanted her to get her comeuppance. I'm like, no, I don't. Like, I suddenly felt so moralistic that I was like, what is happening to me? Like, I'm like, this isn't enough. Something has to happen.
And this is not spoiling anything, by the way. Yeah.
And the freaky trick of it all is she makes it watchable.
Yes.
I think she, above everyone else, makes it watchable.
There's late-stage capitalism for you.
it's crazy. You package it up, you put Rosamund Pike's face on it, and suddenly we're there. Okay, so that's it. I mean, for I Care a Lot, I think the overall consensus was we didn't care that much for it, but we kind of enjoyed it. It's a bit odd. Let us know if you've seen it. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio, write to us at movies@bfm.my, and reach us on social media. We are BFM Popcorn on both Twitter and Instagram. You've been listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.